You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Connect Community, thank you for joining us today for another Sunday service. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're excited to start a brand new series. We're going to talk about 3 weeks, we're going to talk about acceptance. We're going to talk about living a whole life. We thought about this because this pandemic accelerated this process or trend that we have seen in the past decade. Right, honey? Yeah. Since with the advent of social media and all the portals that you have virtually, much of our relationships mm-hmm. and how we interact has started to transfer over to social media and those avenues. And it's a different way to relate to people. Mm-hmm. But most of our yearnings, our desires, our motivation for relationships, they're the same. What we seek out of these virtual connections is the same thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think our sense of, or not maybe not sense, but our need mm-hmm. to belong remains. The avenues of which we've been seeking to belong have changed with mm-hmm. the beginning of this always connected era. It used to be where there was some alone time, and that's okay, because, you know, you're refreshed by being alone, and now you're never alone. Mm-hmm. But because you're never alone, you also feel like you need to belong all the time mm-hmm. and to be applauded or noticed or seen or, you know, all the time.
And it's interesting because even though we're connected more and we're never alone, it seems like loneliness is...
Oh, it's rising. It's the opposite because it produces a pseudo effect.
Yeah.
This is not real belonging. Well, mm-hmm. what a conversation with a close friend is able to do neurologically, mm-hmm. Spiritually, emotionally, a social media interaction or some kind of virtual interaction is not able to do. It gives you a quick fix. That's right. It's a quick high. And it dissipates really fast and leaves you almost like, you know, they talk about the experience of an addict. Mm-hmm. Like you have a hit and then you have a low. And so mm-hmm. it's like these major highs and major lows that leave you depleted. Mm-hmm. And they don't, because you were never filled and you never actually achieved true connection, it leaves you worse off than you were before. And so the numbers, as you study them, of people feeling lonely, of feeling isolated, of feeling forgotten, depression, anxiety, all of those numbers are skyrocketing, even though we're never disconnected. And we're always...
And I think with the pandemic, it just... The acceleration of this process of connecting virtually has been exponential.
Oh, well, because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You really want to belong.
Yeah, we're told
you really want to be with people because mm-hmm. that's our drive, but you don't have that option. The only way is to hop on a Zoom or to go to social media or to go to anything else. But, you know, and it's funny because most people don't think of calling.
Yeah.
The effect of an actual phone call, of hearing someone's voice in a call and having an honest conversation, as opposed to
texting or
a social media post or watching someone else's video. It's really interesting that, you know, we don't call people anymore. And that would actually help more than doing, you know.
Yeah. I think what's also on somewhat of a positive side, what this has done is has created a clear separation between a connection that is superficial and robotic, because mm-hmm. it's literally robotic. It's algorithms and computers, mm-hmm. To the kind of connection and relationship that make us whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we really want. We see a lot of drive online for self-promotion, your brand, you know, having something that's attractive to others that people can like. But underneath all that, I think that the deep desire of our heart is not self-promotion.
No.
It's not fame, even though people might be seeking fame. underneath that, there is this desire to be made whole,
to be seen,
to be complete and seen.
To be complete, yes. To be seen, to belong, mm-hmm. to be a part of something, to feel like you are enough.
Yeah,
like those are our basic needs.
Yes,
right.
And we know this. We know that nobody can be whole alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we seek different avenues.
God is not whole alone.
Exactly.
He is a triune being.
Mm.
And so we forget that we are made in the image of God, who is not one, but three. And so when we try to be whole alone in our, you know, in ourselves, we lack because we're not made to.
So that's what this series is about. I know today is Valentine's Day. There's a lot of emotion surrounding it. For some, it's a great day. For others, it's a difficult time. But we think that this series is going to be helpful because it's not a relationship series per se. We're looking from the structures of what motivates us toward connection. And here's the premise, is that before things can function properly, we have to put them in proper order.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that things are out of order.
Yeah.
And when they're out of order, they can't function properly. So the goal of this series for us is to put things in order.
Mm-hmm.
We were prepping for this series and we were talking about it, and you had a clear, concise description of what we're going to navigate and what we're going to do in these three Sundays. So,
yeah. So, most people start externally trying to fix an internal problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that the problem is relationships. I have the wrong friends, or I have the wrong husband.
Mm.
I don't, but they think. Or I have the wrong, spouse, I have the wrong this and that. And you place the issue or the problem on everybody else, when in fact, it is not an external problem, it's an internal problem.
Mm.
We are made to relate to God. We are made to be in relationship with God. And from our relationship with God, we have a sense of self, which is in a relationship to ourselves. How we see ourselves and our identity, how we see our calling, how we see the way we're going to play that out, all of that comes from a virtue of a relationship with God.
Mm.
And once we have the right relationship with ourselves, then and only then can we have a good relationship with others.
Mm.
Because you can't relate to others well if you don't like your own self. You will notice
that
most people will have a hard time celebrating other people. They have a hard time loving. I mean, you can't love someone if you don't love yourself. You don't know how to give them grace.
The problem is that relationship, instead of becoming a fulfilling, mutually giving relationship, becomes a source.
Yeah, and you
so
take...
You try to withdraw from that relationship. All that's lacking... Because you don't have a relationship with God or a healthy self relationship.
Yeah, you don't have the right image of yourself, so you can't stand on your own, so you become codependent. Most relationships will then become codependent. And so you're trying to take from them or get from them what you lack in yourself or you lack in your relationship with God. And no person was created to fill that space.
And so the relationship...
It crumbles.
Crumbles, falls apart.
It crumbles.
Because you're so frustrated that you can't withdraw.
Yeah, because
and then loneliness happens.
Well, and people get tired too.
Yeah.
They get tired when you are like you're needy, you know, in some sense.
And I think most people have been on either side of those.
Yeah, and then I think that maybe in given seasons we can lean towards it as we are even in seasons with God when we are entering new things, right? And we're not so sure of ourselves. I don't think identity is something that, I know who I am and that's it for the rest of my life. I'm good. I'm, set on who I am. I think we go through crisis of identity. That's why people talk about, I hit my 30s or I hit my 40s or my
50s. It's a process of discovery, right? And settling.
And the Bible talks about renewing our minds, which means we're renewing ourselves and we're leaving our old self behind. And it's a process of, sanctification does that as well as we become more and more like Christ. Shedding old personalities, shedding old things that we do is hard and it rocks your identity. Every time you have to leave something behind and every time God reveals something to you that needs to come out or needs to change, it rocks your identity.
Yeah.
Because you thought, I am, like we walk around thinking, I am this or I am that way.
And all of a sudden. And then that piece gets removed and
And then you're not anymore. I'm like, well, but if I'm
Who
not.
Am I? Yeah.
Well, when kids leave the house, for an example, I am a mother. I'm a mother and that's how I function and I take care of my kids mm-hmm. and I do this and that. And so when they leave the house, you're an empty nester and you go, who am I now if I'm not the mother? Mm. You're still the mother, but maybe you're in a different season, right? And that rocks you. Mm-hmm. That rocks your identity. And if you don't learn to go to God with it and learn to adjust in God, you again will go to another person.
And that can happen in a sphere of relationships.
Yeah, and that's...
Profession, friendship...
All kinds.
Boyfriend, girlfriend relationships.
But you will notice in seasons of change, people like divorces happen later on. Mm. Why? Because the season changed, right? And the person's identity was rocked. And then if they don't go to the right place, they couldn't keep it together because I'm like, I'm not that anymore. Well, then what am I? And everything just starts to get confused and out of order again.
Yeah.
You know?
So we want to focus on this series on these aspects of self and relationship, and we wanted to give you a broad strokes in the top end of this message, so you can kind of come back next Sunday in person, and then the following Sunday on February 28th, when we're going to talk about relationship with others. So today we want to focus on this point of connecting to God, mm-hmm. relating to God. And the idea here is that by the end of this series, you will understand a little bit better what it is to be a fully integrated person. Fully integrated person is a person that understands all the parts of who you are, all the parts of your being, and how to act and interact in the world. There's a passage that is going to come up on the screen that I want to share with you. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He's not a layman. This is a person who grew up studying the scriptures and knowing the things of God. And it was somebody who was intrigued by Jesus and came to Jesus in the night asking about this kind of life that Jesus was preaching from the scriptures. He couldn't make the connection between Jesus's message and the Torah and the Old Testament. So Jesus explained the new birth. Jesus explained this process that needs to happen, which is people being born again. And so he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is making a distinction between two ways of life, the way of the flesh and the way of the Spirit. And he's saying, if you're going to be part of the kingdom of God, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you gotta live from the Spirit. Now, I thought it was interesting, and we highlighted the water and the Spirit here because these are the two dimensions that Jesus brings up. Obviously, the water connects to the water baptism, the sacrament, and the decision of being water baptized. But it has also an implication to our decision and our soul, because water means I'm making the decision to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's our part. I am dying to myself daily, and I am rising again as a follower of Christ, as someone who's connected to God. Yeah. And the Spirit is God's part. So this is like what our part and God's part coming together.
You know what I think is interesting, though, about the water is that it is our decision to accept God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Again, our decision.
Yes.
I think a lot of people get stuck in that mm-hmm. that they, because they don't know how to forgive themselves. They cannot conceive of a God who would be able to forgive them. Wow. And so they get stuck there. Because I wouldn't forgive it. And so again, we have it backwards. We don't accept the forgiveness of God entirely because we don't know how to forgive ourselves. And thus we don't know how to forgive others. It's
funny that you mentioned that, because in the next chapter, John 4, Jesus meets the woman of Samaria. We don't have the passage to show, but it just came to mind. Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria, and he's talking about living water. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, if you knew the gift of God, he calls it the gift of God. Mm-hmm. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Mm-hmm. And Jesus reveals himself as the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is so important that we may grasp that what we're looking for in others, what we're looking for outside, which is this sense of completeness, this sense of wholeness, mm-hmm. Release from past mistakes, release from past regrets. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find... It's almost like we're walking half-made, mm-hmm. and we're trying to find completeness in somebody else.
Well, we're looking at other people to provide for us our relief of conscience.
Yeah.
Our release of guilt.
Yeah.
We're looking for other people to give us this peace.
Yes.
Right? Up here. Mm-hmm. But they cannot.
No, they can't.
It is the forgiveness of God in our lives and in our acceptance that what he did for us was enough.
Yes.
It's that acceptance through water,
and
right?
Jesus calls it the gift of God.
The gift of God to accept that and to go, okay, I receive his forgiveness. I don't have to understand it. Here's where people get so stuck. They want to understand everything. And the Bible tells us that we won't. Yeah. We won't understand everything. We don't understand why God's love.
It
we
surpasses don't understanding.
That. We don't understand his love. And why would he forgive? Why would he? That's not to us to figure out. It's for us to accept, to receive, to understand that he loves. That's it. That he loves. That's it. He loves. So we accept, we receive that. Through, and water is the baptism. Yeah. The baptism of water is us saying, I receive it, I accept it.
So this is the concept, right? Jesus was conceptual with Nicodemus, and they were talking about new birth. Now, practically, what does it mean for somebody to have a life that is connected to God? How would you guide somebody?
You know, there's the standard thing people say, right? Pray.
Yeah.
I love and dislike when people say, give that answer, right?
Because it's true.
Because it's true. Pray. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Pray. But what people think about prayer, they make it so unintimate. What do you call that? So impersonal, right? They think of, I have to kneel or I have to have this, this
posture
of prayer that is distant. I was talking to a friend the other day and I told her, it's like, hey, I was talking to God about you the other day. I could have said I was praying for you, but I didn't say I was praying for you. I said I was talking to God about you. Because to me, I'm like, it's a conversation that I'm having with a friend about another friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was just communicating with him. And I think this walk with God is a lot about being vulnerable and being open and allowing God into your thoughts, allowing God into your daily, everything you do.
Mm.
It's not there are disciplines, and I don't want to discount the disciplines and the importance of them, but I do want to push a little bit into being vulnerable and being open, and a relationship with God is being honest.
It's more about the attitude than the action.
More about your stance inside, right? I know these people who tell me, oh, I don't know how to pray. But if you listen to them, they have the most beautiful conversations with God. It's just honest and raw. And it's not like well spoken, but it's honest. And I think of like a father listening to their child, and that's all that he's looking for. It's a conversation and it's an open heart. It's God having access to your heart. I know so many people who can pray, so beautifully, but God doesn't have access to the core of who they are. They're hidden, they're walled up. And you can tell when somebody is just walled up and they give them like these pretty words, you know? And so practically what I say is allow God in. Just allow him in. And if that means, you know, you're driving to work and you're like, God, I just don't want to go to work today. Like, I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to see this person. Or, God, I'm excited for today. Like that kind of prayer. So yes, pray, but be honest and vulnerable.
Yeah.
The other aspect that I would say is really important is I think of it this way. If you were studying any subject, if you were in school and if you wanted to become anything, you would read about it.
Yeah.
Right? You would read the text, you would research, you would try to figure out more. If you're becoming a doctor, you know everything about the body. If you're becoming a lawyer, you know everything about the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people want to call themselves Christians, but don't want to know anything about God.
Mm.
They want to call themselves Christians, but they don't read the Bible.
No.
Right? They don't read the life of Jesus and what he was about. You cannot become a disciple of Jesus and not read about him.
Well, and here's the thing that is probably a page turner in the life of somebody who chooses to follow Jesus and connect to God wholeheartedly, pursue God wholeheartedly. And unfortunately, it happens more when people have had so many disappointments that they're willing to open up, like you said, and be vulnerable. But be vulnerable, meaning letting go, is that we are so caught up in our own desires. We're so caught up in our own selfish ambition that we tend to use everything, even subconsciously, not intentionally, use everything to satisfy that. And in doing that, we miss the beauty and the depth of what a relationship with God actually does. Because if you do connect to God, like you described, by being vulnerable, open, and then you seek to know God, because that's the primary thing, right? You got to know God. You will find that a lot of the things that you are seeking and hoping to have go against your desires because of the flesh. So that's what Jesus was talking about. As you decide to go into the water and the Spirit of God, you know, comes to you and you decide to let go of your life, with it go some of the desires that actually drove you to the pursuit of God. So there's a new motivation behind that.
I heard
that goes beyond your desire.
So specifically to that, I heard a testimony by Tyler Perry, who spoke of when he started writing and how he wrote out of his pain. A lot of the stories.
I remember that story.
Remember that?
It's so
a
good.
Lot of the stories that he came up with for his movies were out of pain.
Yeah.
Well, when he got to forgiveness and he got to healing that pain, he didn't know where to write from.
He couldn't write anymore.
He couldn't write. Yeah. He said, I had to learn how to write now from a healed heart.
Yeah.
From a heart that was not in pain anymore, but that was whole.
It's so powerful.
And that is, oh my gosh, but it's such a...
But he gave a beautiful picture.
Oh, yeah, but he tells his story, right?
It's beautiful. His picture was that he said, it's almost as though I had an engine that worked on gas. And gas was my pain, like the regrets and my the father's hurts because he had a bad relationship with his dad and like all that pain. And then God disassembled that engine. And now he has an engine that works on diesel. And diesel is God's love. So you have to know how to operate under a new
You have to channel fuel.
There's a new fuel that helps you operate.
And that's the thing. So when you now, okay, so you were driven to the feet of God because you were broken and you had nothing left.
Or some ill desire or ambition or I want to get to where I want to get and I'm going to do anything for it.
If you do this, it's the, if you do this for me, I'll serve you forever, God, kind of thing. So that drove you to God's feet. Okay, so now you're in a relationship with God and he heals you or he gives you the job or, you know, whatever you were so desperately in need of is solved. Now what? Now it's like you have to learn to love God for the sake of loving God. And not for what he can give you.
So before we get there, let me just share the scripture that's going to come up on the screen. Because this is what Jesus says. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. That's what Jesus is talking about. The willingness to lose your life, lose your motivation, going down to the water, right? Receiving his spirit will cause you to find it. That means that our desires, what we were talking about, cannot be paramount. They can't be the main thing. The moment you make your desire the main thing, you're making yourself the main thing. And God is an accessory for it. That's all God is an avenue for you to get to what you want. And so this is what Jesus is saying. And Paul in Colossians 3:5, again, we don't have the scripture, but I was reading about it today. He calls covetousness, which is extreme desire. That's what covetousness means, just extra desire, like super desire.
Super desire.
He calls it idolatry, which is kind of a heavy, heavy charge in the scriptures. Like idolatry is first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. But he calls it idolatry, and it's a really, really powerful charge. Well, Dallas Willard, which is, he's a American philosopher, a late American philosopher, great guy. He writes that covetousness means this: I would take what I want if I could. If you have that desire, like, I would take whatever I want if I could, that's covetousness. And when you think about it that way, you go like, man, how many problems do we face today in society at large, in our families? You can think about it, relationships that were broken because people had this in their hearts. So we know that it doesn't work. It's not that Jesus is saying, hey, you got to give up your life for no reason. It's because that if you hold on to your life, it's going to crumble anyways, because our flesh is corrupt and the nature of corruption is to disintegrate. So if you feel like your relationships are disintegrating, if you feel like your life is disintegrating, if you feel like things around you are disintegrating, it's because probably in your life, the steps are not in order to have an integrated life. And our encouragement to you today is that you would connect with God first, because he's the source of an integrated life.
Yeah.
He's the source of a life that is well connected and whole. When you do that, yeah, you find your life. Go ahead.
This is a recipe.
Yeah.
This is the recipe.
Yes.
It's not because God doesn't come to you, your first encounter with him, like you're on your first date and he tells you, hey, give up your life for me. It's not how it goes. It's not a first date situation, right?
Yeah.
God will give you a taste.
Yes.
You will come into a relationship with God, and once you say, okay, the Bible says that unless he draws, no one comes to him, right? So he draws us even to be in relationship with him. There is a desire, a longing in our hearts for God.
Yeah.
A desire, a longing too. So that's how we even come to him.
Yes.
And then you come to him and you taste.
Yes.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
You taste it. You taste it. Like viscerally even, you taste it.
Yeah.
That God is good, that he is kind, that he is loving. And so you have this, right? And so you have this experience with God. And now you're like, what? Okay, how do I stay there? It's a little conflicting even. And you're like, how do I stay there? But there's all these other things that I want. And now you're faced with, what do I want more? It's what do I want more? Do I want God and the presence of God that is overwhelming and amazing? Or do I want this thing? And so it becomes, what do you give your eyes and your mind to? And your heart too. And that's when you get to this.
Yeah.
Because God is saying, hey, I have more of this for you. I have more peace. I have more joy. I have more of the fruit of the Spirit, that he calls it. I have more. But you have to channel your eyes and your mind and your heart to the things that are of me, which is losing your life.
Yeah.
Lose this life. Lose culture. Lose what the world is offering you that seems just as good, that seems just as pleasurable, that seems.
And this is an important distinction too. He's not calling into feelings. He's calling you to a new life.
No,
you're not chasing the feeling.
No, and that's the thing. What culture presents to you is chase feelings.
Yeah, sensory.
Chase this. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Chase, you know, these momentary pleasures. Chase these quick fixes. Chase the quick.
Yeah.
Chase the what's enticing to the eye,
but
right?
It's fleeting.
The lust of the eye.
Yeah.
Come towards that, and I'll give you more and more and more of that. But that is fleeting. That doesn't actually satisfy. That leaves you more empty in the end. Mm-hmm. It has a way of just, it comes in with 1% and it takes 10, right? It's that. That's what the world, what the pleasures of the world and of the flesh, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And so God says, hey, I have a backwards recipe for you here.
Well, it seems backwards because of where we come from.
Because of So I have a recipe for you that seems backwards, but lose yourself.
Yeah.
Give everything to me. Let go. Give your desires. Give your dreams. Give your hopes. Give what you like and what you don't like about yourself. Give all of it.
Unattached.
Just give it all to me, and I will give you something new.
New life. Now, you started with identity, which is a big part of this. And I think that when you do that, what Jesus says that you will find it is that you will realize that who you thought you were is not who you actually were. You will realize that you are indeed a child of God, that you were formed by him, and you will find yourself in him. We're going to close with this scripture, Acts 17, verses 24 through 28. And this is Paul writing to a group of people who were in search of God, and they actually made an image to the unknown God. And it's in Acts And so this is what he writes. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So these guys had an idol and they were obviously taking care of the idol and worshiping it in that way. And he's saying, listen, whatever you're doing for it, that's not the God of the universe. The God of the universe that you're seeking, that you want, he doesn't need. In fact, he gives. So he wants nothing. He doesn't have any need of anything, but he gives. And sometimes we can replace that with anything, with the things that we're searching, right? We can replace that with our own idols. And he continues. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Look at the goodness of God. I want you to pay attention to that. God set up all the periods and boundaries that you should seek him and perhaps feel your way toward him and find him. God has set up markers in your life so that you would come to know him.
That's awesome.
Think about your life right now. Think about different moments in your life where God was knocking on the door of your life. And maybe you were so consumed with the desire that you wanted, that your flesh was getting you toward, that you missed it. But now when you look back, you think, man, that was God calling me. That was God knocking at the door of my heart. He wanted to get to know you so that you would find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. I love this sentence. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. I want you to know you are the offspring of God. You were made in his image. You will find your identity in him as you seek to connect to him.
Yeah, I mean, all of our relationships are interdependent on this concept of understanding who we are or whose we are, right? Yeah. Whose child we are. And then having that right perspective and image makes us behave and relate to others with that too. Because if we are his children, so are they.
Yes.
Right? So your understanding of who you are impacts how you relate to people because you understand who they are too.
Yes.
You know, I'm not just I'm not the only child.
No.
You know, they are his children too. And because they are his children, there is a way in which I relate to them or behave or treat them.
Yeah.
You know?
So next week we're going to talk about what a relationship to self, what God does to you in your heart. Mm-hmm. Because we are all looking for acceptance. Mm-hmm. We're all searching it. And if we're searching it in the wrong avenues, we're going to get our image from another avenue. Mm-hmm. But as you look at God, scripture says that as we behold him, we are transformed. Mm-hmm. As we behold him, as we behold his image, we are transformed into the same image. And that's what we're going
to
talk about.
Yes. So talk to God this week and read a little bit about him.
And join us in person if you can. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday at Ripon Middle School. We would love to have you with us. Listen, some of you we know might not have a relationship with God right now. You might be on the fence, or maybe you disconnected from God, you grew cold toward God. And I want to encourage you to connect to him right now, wherever you might be. Maybe you're listening to this message on a podcast, or you're watching later in the week. This is the day of salvation, the scripture says. And we would love for you to make a decision. Take a step toward God today, so that you can continue your journey to have that integrated life. We call it a fresh start. It's beautiful. It's that breath of fresh air that God gives you to see life anew again, to have hope, to have a dream for a brighter future, to connect to him in a powerful and beautiful way. Would you pray a simple prayer with me? And we would love to have you be part of this family if you're near us or a church near you. You pray, put your hand in your heart if you can, close your eyes and pray this simple prayer here. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my past, of my present, and I give you my future. Lead me, Lord, from this day forward, and I ask you to be my Lord, to guide me, to forgive me of my sins, and to make me new, fully integrated, connected to you. Amen. Listen, if you pray that simple prayer, we believe something new began in your life, even right now. God is for you. He loves you. He wants you to taste of the water, and he wants you to live by the Spirit. And as you pursue that, we believe something amazing will happen in your life in that process. Thank you for tuning in and for being with us today. We hope you have a great rest of the week, and we hope to see you in person next Sunday at Connect Community. Until then, may God bless you, keep you, may he shine his face upon you, and may he be good to you. God bless you, everybody.